12:10, this is WGN. Good afternoon to you. This is John Williams. You know the markets are closed. It's Good Friday, but we're going to take some time here as we get ready for the president to address the nation. He will helm the annual, the daily coronavirus press conference. Normally that comes around 5 o'clock or 4:30 later in the afternoon, early evening. It'll be at noon. Now they're saying 12:30 today, and we'll broadcast it as we always do live here on WGN Radio. In the meantime, a couple of other numbers about the week to talk about with you. Orianne Samuelson joins me now. Oh, I've got some numbers in front of me I just wanted to ask you about. But also, as you listen to this, we have a little time here to take calls that we don't normally do. If you are a small business, medium business manager or owner, I'd like to know where you are right now. I want to know what's happening to your business, what's happening to your staff, your customers, and what you think is going to happen going forward for you. I'm not asking you to be a prognosticator. I'm asking you to tell me how your business is going to manage. If it's you and your, if you're working by yourself, if you've got a staff of 50, I don't care. I just want to hear from some business owners and managers. And Ori and I will take your calls until 12:30. 312-981-7200. Oh, are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll, yes, indeed.
Well, I just wanted to mention, Orion, so the markets are closed today, and the last day of trade, we closed out on the Dow at 23,719. I was looking at the S&P 500, and I could make the same point with those numbers, but since we're a little more familiar with these, let me just mention these, even though the S&P and NASDAQ would probably be better arbiters for how Main Street is going to recover. But let's just do the Dow for a minute, Orion.
Yes.
February 12th, the Dow closed at 29,500. 29,500.
Yep.
6 weeks later, 5 weeks later, March 23rd, 18,500. I forgot that we were that far below 20.
Yeah, we dropped below 20.
Yeah. So figure a loss of about 11,000 points on the Dow. That gets you to March 23rd. April 9th, last day of trade, 23.7. So of the 11,000 we lost, we've gained about 5,000 back. We were at 29.5 in February. We're now at 23.7. But remember, we were at 18.5. When you look at it as a graph, that's not a U, that's a V. The drop-off is insane, and the pickup is not as sharp, but it's gaining some steam there, Orion.
There is a pickup, and that's why for years, for decades, I've had as a rule, I don't trade a lot of stocks, but I have a rule. I would never sell on a down day that's 800 to 1,000 points lower, because what I've seen over the years on history is that when you get that kind of a sell-off, there are investors out there who have been wanting to buy Apple or who have been wanting to buy whatever stock they have seen, and it got away from them on the way up. So when they come down that much, there are what I like to call bargain hunters, and they come into the market, and they can have quite a move, as we have seen in this process. I can't remember in my days of market reporting, which goes back, I think, to 1960, that I've seen a month like we've seen this year because of the COVID-19 situation. But again, the markets, at least as far as agriculture is concerned, and I think as far as the stock market is concerned, trades on the future. And because we call the agricultural markets futures markets, they're trading on the come and what could happen. And we've seen too many times when a big sell-off leads to a big run-up. So makes it really tough to work the market and understand what's happening, but I try every day.
Well, and when you talk about the markets, that's the big picture. And then there's people who say, okay, what if the markets got back to 29 or 28 or 27, a number we'd all be happy to live with, right? That doesn't mean that 2 months of lost economic activity goes away. It suddenly doesn't erase that, and it doesn't erase what's about to happen. So now we do have some calls, Ori, and let's you and I talk to some of our listeners who are business managers and owners, an optometrist, a hotel owner, maybe you run a restaurant, a store, 312-981-7200. Watching the clock with you, it's 12:17, president set to speak. The COVID-19 press conference expected at 12:30 today on WGN Radio. Our Ori and Samuelson and I are taking some of your calls from you, the business owners and managers out there. Tell us how it's been. Tell us what you are thinking is going to happen next for you. Jim, you're on the air. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's your business?
I own the Drake Oak Brook Hotel.
So that's by Oak Brook Mall over there?
Right on York and 22nd.
Yeah, sure. I know exactly where you are. It's a busy business complex, shopping complex there. How's business? What's going on with you guys?
Well, we're closed, obviously. We had we do a big wedding business. We have about 90 weddings booked for this year. So our April and May weddings have all been pushed off to later in the year. But we thank God we haven't lost any. But yeah. Now they're going to get married on a Friday instead of a Saturday.
Oh, I see. So what does that mean to you then? Are you maybe that money's still going to be on the books, huh?
Hopefully, just later in the year. I mean, we became part of the Marriott Autograph Collection 2 weeks before we closed down. So we still had some renovations to complete. So we ended up, we were a little bit fortunate. We took our maids, our bartenders, our banquet servers, and they're all working to help set up the new rooms as painters or...
Oh, really?
So fortunately, keep a lot of people on the payroll.
So were you going to be open right now then?
We were. We have two buildings. So we finished one. We opened. We got off to a great start as part of the Autograph Collection. And then we were going to renovate the other 85 rooms. The furniture was already here. So it was going to take us... We were anticipating 6 months, but since we kept everyone working, actually, we hope to finish by June 1st.
Ori, and I thought I saw a number on hotel occupancy rates. You may have seen these as well, but in the city, it's normally this time of year around 91%, and I think downtown hotel occupancy rates have been in the single digits, right?
I saw 7%, yes,
7.
The past week they had. But a question I have for our friend on the phone with us, the cancellation of the weddings and the parties that you would have, what does that do to your food orders? Because the agricultural community is watching the market go down because people aren't eating out.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, we have 10 walk-in coolers. I mean, we have a tremendous banquet business. So obviously we closed everything down now. The food that was perishable, we gave away to all of our employees, but we're going to have to reorder a lot of that food, you know, when we open up, hopefully in June and July, because we have a lot of weddings then.
As much as people are buying groceries now, Orion, I wonder if some of the people in the ag side are going to see a resurgence when businesses like Jim's here open back up.
Oh, I'm sure they will, because businesses like Jim's consume a lot of what we produce on the farms throughout the United States. So I'm sure that there will be a surge in products beyond the toilet paper, I would think.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's if you look at our September, I think before the COVID-19, we had, I'm going to say, 12 weddings booked for September. I think now, because we pushed them all back to September, there's probably 20. So, you know, do the math, but it's going to be, we're going to be ordering a lot more food and liquor in September than we would have been.
How long can you hold out like this, Jim? You sound upbeat. What's your expectation? What do you think is going to happen going forward?
My feeling is, I don't know, I think these experts got it so wrong that they came out with 2 million deaths and hospitalizations, and they've kept on adjusting and adjusting, and now they're telling us, you know, it's going to be a year. My feeling is before we listen to them again, they need to explain very clearly and articulately how they got it so wrong to begin with.
Yeah.
But the people we're talking to, I think come this summer it's going to be back. I think maybe, say, for the wedding, some of the grandparents won't come. But we're still booking weddings. There's a lot of kids at home. We're doing virtual tours. You know, now's a perfect time for them to plan their weddings. The 25-year-old, the 35-year-olds, they're still going to come out. Maybe some of the seniors are a little more skittish. But I'm optimistic.
I'm glad to hear it, Jim. You own the Drake Oak Brook Hotel in Oak Brook. Okay, I'm swing by and say hi. When you open the doors, I'll come by and visit you.
Please do.
Thanks for listening, Jim. You betcha. Good luck to you. Lots of calls now. The lines are busy with business owners and managers. Orion, let's visit with an optometrist in the Greenwood area, and that's George. You're on WGN. George, how are you?
Good, John. Mount Greenwood area, and glad to talk to you and Orion. Yes.
So how's business? Are you still seeing patients?
Well, no. Actually, the office itself has been closed for three-plus weeks. But we are doing some telemedicine, and, you know, we have staff that are doing some work at home, but they've been furloughed so they can apply for unemployment. And then hopefully if we get the PPP grant, we'll be able to put them back, you know, to work even if at home. And as long as you use 75% of those funds towards payroll,
right,
it takes them off of unemployment.
Yeah, you know the rules. We're all learning them. So how many people have you furloughed then?
Four. Four staff.
Yeah, got it. So it's
not a
business.
Big office, but nice area.
But I'm curious to know how you can do telemedicine if you're an optometrist.
Oh, yeah. So I will tell you that I had one particular patient, 80 years old, who left a message. She thought she had an eye infection. So I called and said, you know, do you have an iPhone, iPad? Said, no, but my neighbor does. So, Orion, I had her neighbor come over. I FaceTimed with her, looked at her eye, and she had actually broken a blood vessel. So, you know, you can't always do a lot, but sometimes that's just one example. You can't always do it, but, you know, we're permitted to do it now with the changes in COVID-19. So no, certainly we don't do an eye exam, but actually there are some provisions now to actually give them an eye chart and things like that. But, you know, hopefully we'll get back to practicing in maybe a couple months, I hope.
Yeah, what's your guess, George? What's your guess, George?
Well, I don't think I would say at the earliest June, actually. And when we do, it'll be different. I mean, patients will all come in singly. We'll make sure they have masks. I mean, I'm able to get through business and Vision Source, which is a part of our group, the COVID-95 masks when we go back to practice. So, you know, things will be different, but, you know, we will adjust, and I'm kind of positive. You know, I mean, it's hard for all of us, and we'll get through it.
What's the name of your business, George, there in Mount Greenwood?
It's Mount Greenwood Eye Care. Thanks, John.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've got 2 minutes left. Orion, let's try and get in two more quick businesses. George,
yeah, I'm ready.
Good luck to you, George. It looks like, is it Raleigh? And Raleigh is on line 3. You're on WGN. Raleigh, are you there?
Hi, John and Orion. This is Rolly. I'm calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
You're a title and, insurance company owner. So what's happening with you then?
I'm a manager of the office here in Kenosha. And what we've got is a great business going. And that's a lot because of all the interest rates that dropped earlier in the year. A lot of people came in to refi. A lot of people were coming in to buy business homes as well as businesses, for that matter. And so I've got closers who are face-to-face with people right now in my office, closing, doing the closing of the documents that have to be passed up and back between the closer and the buyers. We're asking that the realtors and the lenders stay away from the table. They don't even need to come into our offices as we're cleansing. We're sanitizing. We're taking a pen. If you take a pen, it's yours. If you don't want it, you throw it away.
Rolly, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Rolly. So your business is, you haven't taken a hit yet, right?
We have not. And I don't see us really taking a hit until the lenders go to check to see, are you still working at the company that you were working with 2 or 3 days before the closing? And then we're going to have some issues as people are not able to get that funding done because they are no longer in a status of employment.
Well, yeah, what a complication that is. Rolly, good luck to you. Thanks for the call. You know a little bit about those kinds of numbers, though, but that's I think there are some sectors of the economy that are going to survive this and others that are just on their heels right now.
Well, yeah, and that happens in every up and down that I've seen in the stock market and in the agricultural markets for a long time, because they do go up and down because we keep trading. But the report on housing, I have realtor friends who have said they have had a good period because of the cutback in interest rates for home buying, and so it'll be interesting to see if the money we have talked about that's moving into the business community, particularly housing, if that will continue to keep the housing industry stronger than I think a lot of people expected.
Rebecca owns a dance studio in Lakewood in the northwest suburbs. I've got less than 60 seconds. Rebecca, what's the name of your business?
Hey, guys. Rebecca McCarthy School of Dance.
So give me just the quick headline on how you all are doing.
Well, we're obviously completely shut down, but thank God for Zoom. We offer little, like, 40 classes a week, and I take turns every day with my instructors. There's five of us, and every day we do classes. One takes Monday, one takes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wow.
And I have received nothing but positive feedback from my parents. The studio parents have been just so supportive and so great.
What a good idea. What's the name of the business again?
Rebecca McCarthy School of Dance.
Rebecca, good luck to you. Orion, we're out of time, but thanks for helping me. You and I should do this a little more often, sir.
I would look forward to it because I have a daughter who is a server in a restaurant, and she's out of work and no income because her income is tipped. So
we'll continue to follow these kinds of stories on the Wintrust Business Lunch. The news around the corner. 12:34, this is WGN. John Williams on the Wintrust Business Lunch, wishing you a happy and safe weekend. Nice so far outside downtown Chicago. Cooler and cloudier weather around the corner. I see that pretty much everybody's insurance companies appear to be poised to or have already announced that they're going to be giving rebates of some kind for their auto customers. State Farm, the Tribune reports today, the nation's largest underwriter of auto insurance, said yesterday that they will return $2 billion to their customers over the course of 2 months. Most policyholders will get a 25% credit for the weeks between March 30th and May 31st. So April and May, those would be the full months of April and May, policyholders will get a 25% credit for the weeks of March 30th, or for the weeks between March 30th and May 31st.
Who says you never get anything from your insurance companies?
I am shocked that they're doing this. The idea is that we're driving less, therefore we're having fewer accidents, therefore we're filing fewer claims, therefore they have to pay out less money, so they now have more money. I guess an insurance company looked in the mirror one day and said, maybe we should give that back, but I could understand if a business said, that's our money. We all take risks. Sometimes we have to pay more than we have. Now we're getting more than we need. But up and down the line, Geico, Liberty Mutual, Farmers Insurance, 21st Century, State Farm, the rest of them, they all seem to now be instituting programs that will return 10, 20, 25% on premiums over the course of a couple of months. And it's going to, across the country, total $2 billion going the other way. Steve, I am not aware of any federal or state mandate on that. They just seem to be doing it.
You know, I was going to bring that up because I don't know the answer either. There is a Department of Insurance. There is regulation. So I don't know if they're required, you know, if there's some requirement. Like,
right.
You know, like the museums have a certain number of free days every year. That's the requirement. But I don't think there is.
I would understand a calculation that said you're federally regulated, and if you have assets or income beyond a certain point that you're paying out, then you have to adjust accordingly. That would be a regulation.
Like a ratio or something.
Right. But I'm not in that business, and maybe you are.
I think it's state regulated too, not federal. I think it goes by state, but I'm not sure.
I do think you're right. There's a reference to a state regulating agency here. State Farm has seen about a 35% decline in miles driven by policyholders since states began implementing stay-at-home directives. I guarantee you that it's more than 35% fewer miles are being driven. The whole world is in Chicago, but there's a lot of people in Chicago, and the highways and major thoroughfares are reduced by more than 35%. I would say it's more like 65%. I drove to and from Joliet this week, and I did 70 plus the whole way. I don't often get to go down the Stevenson that way in the middle of a weekday.
Yeah, my drive in is usually about 30 minutes now, 32 minutes, and it could go to an hour and a half and a typical traffic day.
And right now it's
35 minutes.
Brenda and I drove past your place a weekend ago, and Brenda said, wait, Bertrand lives all the way out here? And I said, yeah. She said, he makes that commute? I know you've taken the train, but you usually drive.
Yeah, I drive.
Your drive one way is usually how long?
It could be anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a separate conversation, but really.
Well, what's yours?
My commute?
Yeah.
Well, you know where I live. I just...
I know, but you take the L, so how long does it take you door to door?
40 minutes.
Okay.
I can ride my bike to work in 40 minutes.
Right.
Right. So your point is... Really, you're door-to-door about an hour and a half?
It could be an hour to an hour and a half, yeah. I mean, sometimes in the afternoon it's less, but...
Why am I trying to paint my situation as better than yours? But I find myself doing that. I used to live in LaGrange Park and would come in on the Eisenhower, and you do get used to 45 minutes one way on the Ike, and that's before you got in your car or before you get out of your car to your place of employment. So it's an hour plus each way. And I guess if you get used to that, then it's not a remarkable thing. But an hour and a half strikes me as, that's no way to live.
Well, John, it's only 3 hours out of every day.
Really? That's what I'm doing for you, Steve. And I'm surprised that doesn't hit you over the head like a ton of bricks.
You've got an extra bedroom. Can I move in with you?
GEICO said on Tuesday that it will give back about $2.5 billion. To its auto and motorcycle customers. That company will issue a 15% credit as those policies come up for renewal between April 8th and October 7th. It's 12:39. Different topic. We're waiting for the president to speak now. The coronavirus daily press briefing that Donald Trump himself hosts. He does have a new White House press secretary. Perhaps at some point this sort of thing would be turned over to somebody like that. Of course, the president exits after a short time now, and then the vice president takes over. Interestingly, it is when the vice president and the doctors come on that most of the networks have now cut away. If they were asking for my opinion, if they were not going to do all of it, I would wait until Dr. Birx gets up there or Dr. Fauci gets up there and then join the press conference, but they do rather the opposite of that. Bill, you're on WGN Radio. Tell me about your story. Why are you calling, sir? What can we do for you?
So my daughter's a first-year nurse in St. Joseph's Hospital in Elgin, and I wanted to buy her whole floor lunch for what they're doing. And I called two local businesses, and I couldn't get them to deliver food or even take the order, not because it's a hospital, they're just not delivering. And I got a hold of a local establishment called Jesters, and not only are they delivering for me, they're paying for it themselves. It's a family-owned operation, and this is the second time they've done it. They did it for Sherman Hospital, and now they're going to deliver dogs and fries to my kid's floor, and I just thought it was a great gesture.
There are... several organizations and then several just private instances that I've been hearing about. What's the name of the group that's delivering the food or doing the food?
Jesters. It's a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like Court Jester?
Yeah, I got it.
Court Jester?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's on McLean Boulevard in Elgin, and super outstanding family. The father jumped in right away and said, we're paying for this. It's on us. Just great people, great establishment. I wanted to get that out there.
You know, and it's, I'm so glad you did. And by the way, just to belabor that point, that's a guy who's not making any money. That food isn't free. He had to pay for it. Now he's making that donation at a time when he himself could use one. So many people in the food service business are doing exactly that. We got to knock their doors down when we get to go back in, don't we?
Yeah, I told him, I said, I don't want you to pay for it. I want to pay for it. I want to help you as a local small business, and I want to feed my daughter's, you know, team because it's, you know, they're going through a hard time. And he insisted, nope, it's on us. So just.
All right, and that's Jester's in Elgin, right, Bill?
Yes, I'm a Queen Boulevard. And by the way, John, you've got the best show on the radio. I listen to you every day.
Well, I got the luxury of working with the best people in the business. It's nice of you to say that, Bill. Thanks for the call.
All right. You have a good day.
Pete Zimmerman is our producer today, and I was going to mention this on my show, but here's what's happened. My producer, Elif Garris, went home several weeks ago, like many of you did. She's working from home. So Elif gets a lot done. It's a little more complicated, but Elif and I are on the phone with another producer each morning at around 7 a.m., and it is literally through 7 p.m. that she is working every single day. We work on weekends to put these shows together, and the producers never get a break. That's Elif Garris. Thank you, Elif. And then a producer that comes in to help us, because we do need somebody in the building, screening calls, helping with audio production, is a young woman named Ashley Byhun. Ashley is a part-time producer here, but she has a full-time position at this radio station in another capacity. So Ashley's doing that job as well as producing my show on this side every single day. And I call on Ashley 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to be doing stuff. And neither of them have blinked, and they don't get enough thanks. You hear Rokan's voice and Bob Surratt and Anna DeVlantis and me, G at night. You don't know the names of all of those people so well, but know that if you think we're doing a good job, we're just standing here. Those are the people that are doing it. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute on WGN.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. The Wall Street Journal says Boeing is considering a plan to reduce its workforce by about 10%. The plan involves buyouts, early retirements, and involuntary layoffs. Tribune Publishing has announced pay cuts of up to 10% for non-union workers who make $67,000 a year or more. Print ad revenue has dropped while businesses are closed by the pandemic. But it's not all bad news. Chicago Inno says local startup Arturo, a real estate data and analytics company spun out of American Family Insurance, raised a new round of funding to expand. Arturo uses artificial intelligence and deep learning to help real estate professionals assess physical property characteristics. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
At 12:47 on WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch, a different version of it today, although I'm hearing a few things that maybe I think we should incorporate into the show, reaching directly to you, the people working in small businesses, you telling us your stories, your victories, and right now some of your hardships as well. We were talking about insurance companies, by the way, and how so many of them, virtually all of them, seem to be giving rebates. But someone just texted in and said they called country companies and said they have not yet decided if they will offer discounted premiums, which is a different animal entirely than a rebate, what they're actually talking about. Maybe it is the same thing, right? It depends on what you call it, but a discount or a rebate. A discount going forward, I guess the other companies are rebating part of your premiums for 2, 3, 4 months, depending on the company and how much you owe, what your premiums are. But billions of dollars are going the other way. Incidentally, Chris is on a phone line and wanted to comment on the call that we had just a moment ago. Chris, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thank you. Have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because, you know, my daughter is a physician's assistant, and I know we hear so many stories about everyone's working so hard and there's so many things going on and it's so sad. And we have available health care providers that are being furloughed within our state. That if I wish the governor would take some of the money and the loans that they're getting to help pay the salaries of these nurses and physician's assistants, and in some cases doctors, that are getting furloughed because they don't have work to do. And this is a very common thing. I just don't think people understand that this is happening. There's hospitals and treatment centers that are not busy because we're all staying at home. And if you're sick enough, you're going to the emergency center or emergency room, and there's nurses and doctors and physician's assistants working there, and they're just exhausted. And if we could take some of these people that aren't busy and cover their salaries in some way and let them go somewhere else and help instead of the governor saying, everyone just go volunteer, they can't, you know, they can't afford to do that.
Yeah. And they aren't going to be qualifying for the $1,200 stimulus, and they probably aren't qualifying for unemployment insurance, although maybe they are. I guess some of them might actually be on unemployment then. Is that right?
Yeah, I think some of them would be on unemployment. It's just such a waste of resources when you have nurses and PAs and people that are being furloughed when we have we hear that we're in desperate need of help. So how is that even a thing that's happening within the state? You'd think governor would say, hospitals, if you have staff that you are forced to furlough, you're required or something to send them where it's need help's needed.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. And obviously, it depends on the discipline. I mean, I had to miss a dermatologist appointment this week, and they're probably not doing much business as a result.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, that type of thing, I mean, I completely understand. But when you're talking about staff that works in a walk-in treatment center for a hospital where they were seeing COVID-19 patients, but now, you know, there's no one coming in, and they're closing these treatment centers left and right all over the state of Illinois.
Hadn't heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's happening in a lot of places. And those people that work in the treatment centers are going to be furloughed. I don't know why we're not using those resources of people that are already working instead of asking people who are retired and might be at risk to go back to work to come and volunteer instead of taking the people that were already working, trained current providers to come and help.
You heard the story last week about how some of the people that were graduating from nursing school were having their advancements advanced and getting them right out into the field. But and while we all appreciate that, I suspect a lot of the people you're describing could do some of the work that these newbies will be asked to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting point.
I mean, I'm not sure why the governor hasn't, you know, they call it a state of emergency. You would think all healthcare workers anywhere in the state, in a situation like that, if you're not needed somewhere, they would be able to relocate you or provide you with some work somewhere else, especially when you hear the nurses and the are so overworked. And it's heartbreaking to hear that and then hear someone's being furloughed.
John, I'm going to interrupt here. We're getting close to this time. President
Thank you, Chris.
Trump is into the White House briefing room and is approaching the podium.